Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Meyer.
Excuse.
Nicholas.
Excuse.
Nutting.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Excuse.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Schiffer. Scott.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Anderson.
Here.
27 present, 3 excused.
Prayer by Father Gartelos.
Mr. President and Senators, again, I want to thank you for the honor this week of being here with you and having the opportunity to pray together. Almighty God, teach us this day that with your guidance, we may offer diligent, honorable, and cheerful service. Guard our desires that we will not deviate from the path of integrity. Strengthen these senators and keep them above all reproach as they continue this session and their service to the people of this great state. As you guide us in our work here, bless and guide also those who are here to assist and enable and support the work done in this chamber. Give us the enthusiasm that comes from knowing the high calling of serving in government. Grant the wisdom to understand our roles that we may seek your will and accomplish our goals for this great state through the legislation of this Senate. Free us from secondary self-serving goals. We ask that you help us to humble ourselves and ask and find answers to who and how we may best serve today. Amen.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January the 26th, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Well, there being, any objections? There being none, the report has been adopted. Our doctor and nurse of the day are Renee Hinkle, MD. Renee is from Cheyenne. Thank you, Dr. Hinkle. No nurse for the day. On this day in Wyoming history in 1979, the USS Yellowstone was launched in San Diego. On this day in world history, in 1967, the World Outer Space Treaty, which banned the placement of nuclear weapons or any other weapons of mass destruction in orbit of Earth, was signed by 60 countries in the world, including the Soviet Union and the United States. House bills on first reading. House Bill 60, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 60, taxation of oil and gas field services, and act relating to taxation and revenue, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 1.
House Bill 60 has been referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 117, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 117, Data Processing Services Center Tax Exemption and Act Relating to Sales and Use Taxes, sponsored by Representative Illaway and the Revenue Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 52, noes 6, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill 117, referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Joint Resolution 2.
House Joint Resolution 2, a resolution, U.S. Constitution requiring a balanced budget, a joint resolution requesting Congress submit to the states a proposed amendment to the United States Constitution regarding a balanced budget except in a time of war or declared national emergency. Sponsored by Representative Coker. Passed the House, ayes 49, noes 8, excused 3.
House Joint Resolution 2 has been referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 15, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 15, Weed and Pest Control, and Act Relating to Weed and Pest Control, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. It passed the House on third reading, ayes 44, noes 13, excused 3.
House Bill 15 has been referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 18, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 18, Quarantine of Animals, an Act Relating to the Quarantine of Animals, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 18 has been referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 57, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 57, Feral Livestock, an Act Relating to Feral Livestock, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 57 has been referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 8, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 8, Wyoming Traditional Food Act, an act relating to food, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill 8 has been referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 76, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 76, Game and Fish Turkey Pioneer Licenses, and Act Relating to Game and Fish, sponsored by Representative Ken Escobel. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 56, noes 1, excused 3.
House Bill 76 has been referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 100, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 100, Game and Fish, Land Acquisition, and Act Relating to Game and Fish, sponsored by Representative Shepperson. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 54, noes 4, excused 2.
House Bill 100 has been referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 42, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 42, Coroner Record Confidentiality, an Act Relating to Coroners, sponsored by Representative Gingery. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 42 has been referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 3, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 3, Liquor License Transfers, an Act Relating to Alcohol, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 56, excused 4.
House Bill number 3 has been referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill number 4, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 4, Department of Insurance Background Checks, an Act Relating to Insurance, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 46, noes 10, excused 4.
House Bill number 4 has been referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 9, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 9, Department of Insurance Licensure Revisions, an Act Relating to Insurance, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 56, excused 4.
House Bill 9 has been referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 98, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 98, Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses, an Act Relating to Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses, sponsored by Representative Stubson. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 56, noes 1, excused 3.
House Bill 98 has been assigned Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 108.
House Bill 108, Collection Agencies, an Act Relating to Collection Agencies, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Pass the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 35, noes 24, excused 1.
House Bill 108 has been assigned to Committee number 9, Minerals. House Bill 111.
House Bill 111, Public Works and Contracts 2, an Act Relating to Public Works and Contracts, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill 111 has been assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 33, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 33, Exceeding Speed Limit While Passing, an Act Relating to Motor Vehicles, sponsored by Representative McComey. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill 33 has been referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. House Bill 111 has been read in. I'd like to reread this bill and assign it to another committee, so we'll reread House Bill 111, first reading of that House Bill.
House Bill 111, Public Works and Contracts 2, an Act Relating to Public Works and Contracts, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill 111 has been assigned to Committee 9, Minerals. House Bill 113, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 113, Wyoming Pipeline Authority, an Act Relating to the Wyoming Pipeline Authority, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 57, excused 3.
House Bill 113 has been assigned to Committee number 9, Minerals. House Bill 109, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 109, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, an Act Relating to Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 57, excused 3.
House Bill 109 has been assigned to Committee 9, Minerals. House Bill 2, number 2.
House Bill 2, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Sunset, and Act Relating to Health Insurance, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 56, excused 4.
House Bill 2 has been assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 110.
House Bill 110, Successor Corporation Asbestos-Related Liability Act 2, and Act Relating to Civil Action, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 56, noes 1, excused 3.
House Bill 110 has been assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 20.
House Bill 20, Medicaid Reimbursement of Services, an Act Relating to Medicaid, sponsored by the Select Developmental and Intellectual Programs Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 57, excused 3.
House Bill 20 has been assigned to Committee 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
January the 26th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 124, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. January the 26th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 131, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. January the 26th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 119, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss, Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Yes, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, Senate File 131, Military Department Federally Funded Positions, deals with the appropriations process. I would ask that it be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 131 has been requested to be re-referred to Committee Number 2. Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Inquiry on that. Is it re-referred because of a budget, or is it re-referred as a matter of substance for them to look at the whole bill? The introduction made me wonder.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, it's re-referred for them to look at the whole bill. There is not an appropriation in there, but it does deal extensively with the process.
Thank you, Senator Schiffer. Thank you, Senator Scott. Are we now ready for bills on second reading? Senate File 25, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 25, Long-Term Services and Support, sponsored by Senator Martin.
Senate File 25, and there are no amendments, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 57, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 57, 100th State Fair Celebration, sponsored by Senator Anderson.
There are no amendments. Senate File 57, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 59, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 59, Spice Drug, sponsored by Senator Escobel.
There are no amendments. Senate File 59, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 90, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 90, Wyoming Nurse Practices Act Amendments, sponsored by Senator Nutting.
There are no amendments. Senate File 90, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, this morning we have members of the American Cancer Society, Cancer Action Network, and the Wyoming Comprehensive Cancer Control Consortium, of which I am a co-chair. They are here today to celebrate hope. Cancer affects all of us. And these organizations are doing everything they can to reduce cancer rates and to help those who have been diagnosed. On each of your desks, these organizations have provided daffodils which symbolize the hope they are so desperately seeking. I would encourage each of you to attend their legislative luncheon, which will be held in the Hirschler Building in room 1699 today. Please join me in welcoming those attending the Celebration of Hope.
Welcome to the Senate, and I think that there are certainly a number of cancer survivors on the floor of the Senate, and I know that we and many others thank you very, very much for your efforts. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a third reading consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a third reading consent list, and it is as follows. Senate File 9, Economic Analysis. Senate File 22, Wind Energy Property Rights. Senate File 33, State Parks Acquisitions of Land. Senate File 37, Health Insurance Definitions. Senate File 68, Summary Probate Amendments. Senate File 100, Cruelty to Animals. And Senate File 116, Oil and Gas Enhanced Recovery, Microbial Conversion, Microbial. It's actually Microbial Conversion.
Thank you, Senator. Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Seeing no request, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 109.
No,
nine. Senate File 22. Excuse me. Senate File 9 was the first bill on the consent list. Senate File 9. Senate File 22. Senate File 33. Senate File 37. Senate File 68. Senate File 100. And Senate File 116. Having been three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe. Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 9, are there any changes?
Ross, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 9, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 22, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 22, 30 ayes. Senate File 33, are there any changes?
Bebout, I don't know.
Bebout, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 33, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 37, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 37, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 68, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 68, 30 ayes. Senate File 100, are there any changes? Landon, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no.
Anderson, aye to no.
President Anderson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 100, 19 ayes, 11 noes. Senate File 116, are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 116, 29 ayes, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 9, Senate File 22, Senate File 33, Senate File 37, Senate File 68, Senate File 100, Senate File 116 have passed the Senate. Other bills on third reading. Senate File 88, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 88, expungement of nonviolent felonies, an act relating to crimes and punishments, sponsored by Senator Burns, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, amendment number one, that is the Perkins Amendment, and I'd ask that the reading clerk read that amendment in at this time.
Senate File 88, third reading, amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Perkins, would you like to move the amendment and speak to it, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 88, expungement of nonviolent felonies, and ask for your favorable consideration. First of all, let me apologize to the body for bringing this on third reading. I intended to bring it on second reading and was neglectful in getting the approval back to our staff on time so it could be distributed during second reading. I did run this by the sponsor, and the sponsor considered it to at least not an unfriendly amendment. I don't know if he believed it was friendly or not. But what we're doing in here is two things. One is, if you go to, and what the amendment does is, if you go to page 2, and go to line 17, where you see there that these are the requirements that someone would have to go ahead and move the court for the conditions you have to satisfy in order to qualify for a potential expungement. This adds a fourth requirement, and you see here, and what that would be is you can only come back and ask for an expungement once every 10 years. The concept of this was that ultimately someone could come back without some kind of limitation. Someone could come back every other month, every year, whatever period of time. And so what we're saying is you can ask for expungement, but you can only do this once every 10 years. That's the first part of the amendment. The other part of the amendment, when you on the amendment itself, starting with basically line 12 through the bottom of the page, what it does is it takes the notification provisions and not only has them here, but would add them to the Victim's Bill of Rights. The Victim's Bill of Rights is what you find at 1-40-204, which you see on the amendment. And so what we're doing is going under here, and in B of that particular section, which is this section is known as the Victim's Bill of Rights, it would provide that victims and key witnesses of a criminal act shall be informed in writing by the prosecutor attorney about. And there's a laundry list of things, and what we're doing is adding a new one here, which would be Romanette 11, which is the right to be notified that the offender has filed a petition for expungement of the records of conviction and advance notice of any hearing or proceeding thereon. So we not only have the provision in here, but it seemed to me appropriate that we put it in the Victim's Bill of Rights so that when people go and they want to understand the Victim's Bill of Rights, they would understand that this right is one of the rights that they would enjoy as a victim. And with that, I'd stand for questions and ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further comments or questions of the sponsor, Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I think I understand this, and so I'm going to ask for a division of lines 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 being the first division, and the balance thereafter. I believe the title can be amended to reflect action on this without asking for a division as far as page 1, lines through 3, but I would ask that LSO do that if this division shall fail. Mr. President, as I see in this, is that we're giving two bites of the apple, or three bites of the apple, or four bites of the apple. I think I'm tracking this in, and forgive me if I'm wrong, the bringer of the amendment can correct me, but it looks like every 10 years, you can raise your hand and say, expunge my record. So you can be a habitual felon, and every 10 years, ask for your record expunged. And I want to know if that's what this amendment does. I think it is, and if it is, I would ask the body to vote no, but I'd have a ruling from the chair whether that's a proper line division first.
I believe that is, and you're asking then for the vote be on the first part of the amendment and the first part of the amendment.
To vote no.
That asking would be that we vote one. No, yes. First part of the amendment being 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 through those lines. So that would be voting on the first division, and the senator has asked that you vote no. On the first division, all those in favor? Wait. Yes. Go ahead, Senator Scott.
I think we better stop and think about this for a minute. I think the amendment is on the right track, that there ought to be some restraint in how often these can be filed. I think once every 10 years may be making it too tight. Frankly, I would have much preferred the amendment to say every 2 years or every 5 years or something like that. because circumstances do change quite a bit over a period. And if somebody jumped the gun on the first one, and there's some reason why they shouldn't be granted it, maybe in 5 years down the road there's enough time passed, so there should be an expungement. Mr. President, I think that we might be better off without this particular amendment, but my problem with the amendment is the time, not the idea of the amendment.
Senator Perkins?
Mr. President, for my first time on the First Division, I think the divider of the amendment had it wrong. As you read the bill now, you could apply for expungement once you met the other requirements on page 2 of Romanet 1, Romanet 2, and Romanet 3. If you meet those other requirements, you could file a petition for expungement every day. You could file one, or you could file it every week, or every other week, or every month, or every 6 months, or every year. There's no restriction on how many times you could file for expungement. And actually, in talking with the sponsor of the bill, I mean, he would consider even potentially once in a lifetime would be enough. What this amendment does is simply put a time limit on it as 10, whether it's 10 or whether it's 5, vote it up or vote it down. But what it does do is puts a restriction on it. It's exactly opposite of what the divider of the amendment initially interpreted. So that's my expression or my explanation of Division 1. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on discussion of this bill, this question was indeed brought up a number of times with a number of scenarios, from one end being that it would be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for somebody to apply, and if they didn't make it, that's tough. And then the other being the extreme where you could apply constantly. And frankly, in committee, we ended up not doing anything about it. And so I think the sponsor of the amendment is correct that by our inaction, we actually opened the door to multiple applications many times. I agree. I am in favor of this portion of the amendment simply because I think it's a good compromise.
Thank you. Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I want to apologize to the bringer of the amendment because I had remembered that this was going to be one bite of the apple, and I saw the 10-year period, and this does further restrict it. I thought it was a lifetime situation, so that this does make the bill more palatable as we have a clear understanding of the bill.
So, Senator Meyer, are you asking that your division be withdrawn?
Mr. President, I would ask that would be withdrawn. Yeah.
We're now then back, I think, on the complete amendment. Senator Scott?
Mr. President, I would ask that the division be reinstated.
We are back on the First Division. Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, I join with my colleague from Natrona County. You know, the problem with, I could see you saying, okay, don't apply more than once a year. But if we think this is a good vehicle, an appropriate vehicle, there are a lot of reasons why a person would make an application and it would be denied, and there would be a change of events that might happen months or a year later that would cause us to want to give that same relief a year later. An obvious one is if you have a victim and the victim either left the state, passed away, or something happened to change the facts. And if you go back to these expungements, it's not uncommon for people that are considering the expungements to say, you know, come back next year. You know, I think you ought to stew on this another year and do that. Now, I would agree that if there are circumstances where it could become burdensome because if somebody, as the example was, did it every month just to torment the victims, but we could find ways to take care of that. But to say that you get one shot at it and you miss it and you got to wait an entire 10 years, That doesn't seem to me to implement the what we're trying to do here. 10 years is just too long.
Senator Nicholas, would you clearly state then your position in regard to the first division of the amendment?
On and for the amendment. I asked you to vote aye. No, I said that wrong. That's why you asked. Okay. On and against that amendment.
Thank you.
I ask you to vote no on Division 1.
On the first
no.
division.
And thank you.
All right. Senator Rothfuss.
Yeah, I'm just saying that you're doing.
Mr. President, I'm against this particular division of the amendment. I concur with my dollar fee that's associated with that application. I think that limits the possibility of somebody coming over and over again. And in fact, I would realistically think that would almost be encouraged at that point if you've already seen all the information. If they want to keep coming back and paying $300 to have the same outcome, I don't think you'd get any arguments. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question. Senator Escobel, on and for the first division, in regard to the first division of this amendment.
Against the amendment, Mr. President, I concur with my two fellow senators from Albany County, and I just very briefly want to mention the situation in terms of events, different events come about. Thinking of a member of our body, from the House side, who some years back was shot, and later on is testifying in behalf of the person that that committed the assault against him. So I think those events do happen, and I think by having some restrictions, it keeps us from looking at some of those change of circumstances.
Other commentary or questions in regard to this first division of the amendment? Question being called on Division 1, lines 5 through 11. All those in favor of this division, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
Division has failed. The remainder of the amendment. Question being called on the remainder of the amendment. All those in favor of the remainder of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That second division has passed. Back on the bill. Question being called on the bill. Senate File 88, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard? Bebout? Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting? Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Slatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 88, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 88 has passed the Senate. Senate Joint Resolution 5, third reading of the Senate Joint Resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 5, Defense of Marriage Constitutional Amendment, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution by creating a new section specifying that marriage between a man and a woman shall be the only domestic legal union that shall be valid in or recognized in Wyoming, sponsored by Senator Meyer, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are no amendments to the Senate Joint Resolution. Is there anyone who would like to comment on the Senate Joint Resolution?
There is.
Aye. Do you keep all of them?
I have a...
I don't have any amendments. You kept them down there. If there are amendments, I would ask that they be read in at this time. There are no amendments attached to the jacket. I will repeat then. Senate Joint Resolution 5, there are no amendments. And if anyone would like to stand and speak to the Senate Joint Resolution 5, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just for a point of information, we had a couple of questions. One, I hope everybody got the engrossed copy. That should be on your desk if you haven't got it. That was a request from the tall senator from Natrona. There was a question from the senator from Albany County about the Federal Medical Leave Act. Federal statutes in that case trumps state law, state constitution, or however that works. And so this would have no effect on that checked with LSO. And so they said that there'd be no effect on those federal medical or leave acts or whatever it was you were concerned about. So those were the two questions that or two things that folks wanted to have answered. And I can't think of anything else that we haven't answered before. I'd say the people in Wyoming want to have the right to vote on this, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Any other comments in regard to the Senate Joint Resolution 5, Senator Case?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would urge the Senate to vote no. I find it really a tragedy, Mr. President, when we're taking a bill, a proposed constitutional amendment, that will limit people's rights in Wyoming, and that's what we'll do, because there will be situations where a couple joined in union, civil or married, in another state will come to Wyoming, something will happen, a car wreck, somebody might, and the other person has to make decisions, and they won't be able to do that. It might involve the inheritance of property. It might involve all the things that married couples do to decide as we move forward. Well, those are rights. And no one says that you can get married in Wyoming as a same-sex couple. But we're making a big leap when we say that when you come to Wyoming as a same-sex couple, that you're not going to enjoy the rights that other people have. And the greatest irony of all is you're putting this in Article 1. Because Article 1 of the Wyoming Constitution is our Declaration of Rights, Mr. President. It's our Declaration of Rights. It's where we give people the rights that they inherently have, the powers inherent to the people, equality of all, equal political rights. That's the Section 3, where it says that we can't deny these for any reason whatsoever. Mr. President, the right of our people to be secure, the rights, you know, to due process of law, all the rights we give our citizens. And you're going to take this beautiful list and you're going to deny rights in the same section. Vote no.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, for 100-some years we've had this same constitution. And for 100-some years, I think everybody's personal, moral, and religious beliefs have been pretty much the same. And because this subject, some reason, has reached the headlines, we're going to reach into our Constitution, and we're going to change it. Change it believing that we know better 100 years from now than how well this has served us for the previous. I ask for you no vote on this.
Senator Perkin.
And I find it a little bit ironic today that, you know, what we're talking about is this isn't the law. This is for the folks of Wyoming to go out and vote on this, which is something that they do. And if they want to vote no, that's fine, because that's the will of the people. But I find it somewhat ironic that we would trust our neighbors and our friends to come, and we would, if we were convicted, we were charged with a crime, or we were in a lawsuit with property, we would trust our neighbors to sit on a jury and decide our fate, whether we're going to go to prison, whether we're going to lose property, whether we're not going to do those things. We trust our neighbors to do that, but now we don't trust our neighbors on this issue. I find that somewhat ironic. This isn't the law. This only provides the right for the citizens of Wyoming to vote on this. And when they vote, then it's done. It either passes or it fails. And maybe next time, if it fails, it comes back. Maybe there next time the Constitution comes back and specifically provides for same-sex marriages. And then if we vote that through, then that gets voted on. This is not the law. This is simply the right of our citizens to vote on their self-determination on whether they believe that it's appropriate to define marriage as a union between a man and a woman, and whether we're going to recognize those in this state or elsewhere or not. And so it's not our decision. And what we're doing by a no vote is taking that decision away from our citizens who, I don't know about you, but most of my constituents would like to have their expression and their say on this issue. And that's what this amendment does.
Senator Rossless.
Thank you, Mr. President. Rising for the first time in opposition to this bill. My esteemed colleague from Natrona County has said that what we need to do in this instance is give the right to the people to vote on this issue. But what I would have this body look at is the fact that for some reason, when the people put together our Constitution, not just this Constitution, but the U.S. Constitution, they chose to put forward a two-thirds majority requirement from both chambers before it goes to a simple majority vote for the people. And it makes me wonder if what my colleague from Natrona County says is true, that we should just be handing these votes over to the people, why, Mr. President, would we have that requirement in place? I would say that this is exactly the situation that requires that we have that two-thirds majority in place. Because this is a situation, Mr. President, where we have the opportunity for the majority to overwhelm the minority's rights and reduce them, to create a situation of inequality, a situation of even at best separate but equal, because we're constitutionally mandating a diminishment of the freedoms to pursue their own happiness by saying that most of the people, a majority, feel that they should not have those rights, Mr. President. And what I see here, I've been getting the same deluge of information that all of you have. And what I've been asked time and again is to allow the people the right to vote on what we consider to be moral. That's what I'm getting, and that's what I know all of you are getting, because believe me, those are CC'd. You're all seeing the same thing I'm seeing. The right to vote on morality. Mr. President, we've never asserted the right to vote on morality. That's not something we vote on. That's something each of us determines for ourselves, that our families are involved in, our churches, our philosophies, our beliefs, our religions. That's the basis of our individual morality. We don't vote on religion either. What I'm hearing from my colleagues that are supporting this amendment is perhaps we should give the people of Wyoming the right to vote on a state religion. I bet I could get a majority vote on that. As a matter of fact, I'm fairly confident. We could just choose demographically a few different things that most of the people in the state support and vote on them. And they'll pass. It won't be constitutional. It won't be equitable. It won't be a fair right under either the Wyoming Constitution or the U.S. Constitution. But, Mr. President, we can pass it by the people. We were elected by the people to think these things through, to serve as a first check on the potential for the tyranny of the majority to diminish the rights of the minority. Don't kick this down the road to the people, and don't use that easy out. If you vote on this piece of legislation, which I know you will today, vote yes or no because you support or oppose the rights of equality for the gay community. Don't just kick it to the people, because you know that outcome is an easy way. It's an easy approach. It's always easy to say, we'll let the people decide. They already decided. They put you here. You're in the hot seat. Make up your mind. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other commentary? Question being called. Senator Meyer, final time.
President. Mr. President, I simply believe this is a vote on public policy. That's what we're determining here. We vote on moralities and several times in a lot of different statutes. I would also draw the body's attention to the we've talked a lot about the first sentence in the amendment. The second sentence actually provides for a constitutional basically stamp of approval of benefits and obligations in civil relationships. And so I think this amendment is a balanced amendment, and it's a fair amendment to both interest groups involved, and it is time for the people of Wyoming to reaffirm the policy since 1879 and have that opportunity. And I ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator. Senator Meyer did raise for his final time. I think we're ready to vote. Question being called. Senate Joint Resolution 5, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll with a reminder that it takes two-thirds majority for this to pass the Senate. Chief clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns. Case,
no.
Christensen,
no.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
no.
Geis,
no.
Hastert,
no.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
no.
Meyer, Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Anderson,
aye.
Closing vote, closing vote closed, 20 ayes, 10 noes.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 5, having received the affirmative vote of the two-thirds majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate Joint Resolution 5 has passed the Senate. Consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are now ready for those considerations of those bills.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Senator Jennings, would you please approach the desk?
Committee of the Whole come to order. Our first bill this morning is Senate Joint Resolution Number 2. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Joint Resolution 2, Healthcare Freedom, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution by creating a new section specifying that no federal or state law shall compel participation in any health care system by any person, employer, or health care provider. Sponsored by Senator Nutting. It was referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Hicks, Perkins. No, Senator Christensen and Escobel. Senator Perkins, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Perkins?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate Joint Resolution 2, health care freedom. Mr. Chairman, if we in the committee we made, and at this time I would go ahead and move Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 2, and ask for your favorable recommendation of that. Now, for an explanation of the amendment, if I can ask, if I may just look over and ask the
has to be read in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, Standing Committee Amendment number 1, corrected copy, page 1, line 3.
Okay, now.
Senator Perkins.
Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 2. And for an explanation of the amendment, what will be helpful, and I'll explain the amendment, and then we'll turn the time over to the good sponsor of the bill for what we did. In Judiciary Committee, we had that there were actually two constitutional amendments regarding health care up. As we look at those, we ultimately tried to take the best parts out of both of those and move the bill going forward. And so to explain the amendment, if you'll look, we have provided you a copy of kind of a it's not a substitute bill, but it carves in and will help you understand what the amendment does. If you'll go in to the first place that it does is on the in Section 1, the original bill. What we did is we moved it from Article 7 and Section 24 of Article 7 to Article 1, Section 38, which puts it up in the Declaration of Rights. Then you go to So when you get under there, when you get into the next page, when you start down in subparagraph A, you'll see where we've inserted natural persons, and also we've, instead of just talking about health care, we've talked about lawful health care, which is a defined term later on in the document. As you go through, you can see we've removed references to federal or state and just provided that it would be no law. And so all we have in A, now we just have we're making it under a declaration under our Constitution that all natural persons shall have the right to choose and provide for their own lawful health care. And then Section B, that no law, rule, or administrative decision shall compel directly or indirectly any person, employer, health care provider to participate in any health care system to obtain lawful health care services or penalize any person for non-participation. So that's our Declaration of Rights. The rest of then Section C is we took and provided the basis for this declaration, which is asserting the right of the people of the state of Wyoming and the state itself, that those are rights to the extent that they're reserved under the 9th and 10th Articles of the U.S. Constitution, reserving those reserving those for the state to exercise those to the extent they can under Article 7, Section 20 of the Wyoming Constitution, which is where the state gets its right to participate and help oversee health care and the delivery of health of the people of the state of Wyoming. Continuing down, you'll see that we made it not only, we made the consistent language so it affects laws, rules, and regulations. We talk about lawful health care. We recognize that the state is going to have and need the ability, to the extent it already has, to continue to regulate health care in a number of areas. That's what you'll see when you get down to subsection F and the paragraphs under subsection F. We're talking about there are certain times when people are going to be compelled to participate in health care, Mr. Chairman. One of them is workers' compensation. Another one can be prisoners or others who are under the care or custody of the state of Wyoming. The state has an obligation to provide for those folks. And the legislature oversees that. We also we changed the word punishing in Romanet 4 there. You see on page 4 of this document so that we had consistent language with what's in some definitions that come later. And then you'll see we added new sections, new paragraphs at the bottom of page 4 of this explanatory bill, Romanets 4 through 8 to add different make sure that the state has the right one to license. That's an involuntary commit those who are endangering themselves or others in the form of voluntary commitments. Make sure that the state has its state's power is unaffected to regulate the provision of health care to promote professional competence, which would be the licensing boards for physicians, nurses, and others. To affect the power of the state of Wyoming to protect the public from diseases, epidemics, and harmful substances, we have those obligations and those rights are still there. And also, we wanted to make sure that the state of Wyoming retained its power to regulate the business of health insurance and other insurance business arrangements that promise the payments for health care in the future for present payments. So I want to make sure that those powers were still vested in the state to the extent that they already have them. Then finally, probably the last major thing that we did is that we, as a committee, and it was my understanding from both the sponsors of both the two different bills, that they intended for the state of Wyoming to be able to represent its people when the interests of individuals in the state would align with the state in representing them and assisting them in fighting if there was litigation against an individual or a small employer in the state of Wyoming for not complying with a health care standard that was imposed by the federal regime, that it would that the Attorney General would be authorized under the direction and under the provisions decided by the legislature to be able to assist those individuals so that they had a meaningful right and a meaningful defense, since in those cases where what affected one would affect all. Then you go back and the rest of the bill talks about, has some definitions and things that are used elsewhere in the bill, and that is the amendment and what we did with the bill so that you can see what it does before you. And for that time, with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for questions on the amendment, and then we can turn it over to the sponsor of the bill for her explanation of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Perkins. Discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of standing amendment number one on Senate Joint Resolution 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Standing committee amendment number one on Senate File 2 has passed Committee of the Whole. Resolution 2. For presentation of the resolution, Senator Nutting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also want to thank the Senator from Natrona for presenting all those numerous amendments. This legislation has had a lot of input from the members of the Judiciary Committee as well as members of this body and also from the citizens of Wyoming. Indeed, it comes to us at the request of citizens of Wyoming, and it's to give them the right to vote on this amendment at the next election, so it truly is a legislation of the people. What this Healthcare Freedom Amendment does is to preserve in the Wyoming Constitution the right of patients to pay directly for medical care. That's important because now we have the right to select a health care provider and to pay for that care ourselves. That right has been threatened with national legislation, specifically the National Care Act. This amendment would also prohibit government from penalizing Wyoming residents and businesses if they make the choice to not purchase health insurance. It's a bad precedent to mandate citizens to do something, and that's what this amendment protects against. Most of this language says what the government won't do, and that is no change in our current laws and regulations. The very last part is the wording that would actually go on the ballot in 2 years that would allow the people to vote on this amendment. In looking at the federal legislation, the Health Care Act, it's very, very lengthy. This is it. And it's impossible for an average citizen like me to be able to read it. But in making that attempt, I did come across a few words that, with your indulgence, I'd like to read just a small section of what's in here. This is in discussing that for those people who are uninsurable, there will be made a high-risk pool that if there's money that's not otherwise appropriated, $5 billion will go into that pool to pay for those uninsurable people. But rightfully, it also notes then what will happen if that money isn't enough. If the Secretary determines that the aggregate amounts available for payment of expenses of the high-risk pool will be less than the amount of the expenses, the Secretary shall make such adjustments as are necessary to eliminate such deficit, including reducing benefits, increasing premiums, or establishing a waiting list. I ask you to vote for this amendment because I think the people of our state do not want our most ill patients to be put on a waiting list for medical care. And that's just one of the many things that I think we need to help our citizens to push back against. And we can do that by voting for this amendment, which will then allow the people to make the decision on the ballot. I stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Nunning. We're on the bill. Discussion on the bill, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, let me say at the outset, I think we ought to carry this bill through committee of the whole. I think it may need some work before it's ready for third reading. And, Mr. Chairman, I have a series of questions which may be answered, I suppose, by either the sponsor or by the committee. First, and frankly, I will confess I'm going to be working off the version that was passed out that tracks in the Standing Committee Amendment because I find that easiest to follow. In subparagraph A, where it says all natural persons shall have the right to choose and provide for their own lawful health care. The question is, what's the meaning of lawful? And by putting that word in, do we then say that anything that the legislature, or for that matter the Congress, has enacted into law is permissible? And do we destroy much of the value of the constitutional amendment? What is the practical legal consequence of putting that word lawful in? And then, Mr. Chairman, I'll have other questions.
Senator Esquivel.
Mr. Chairman, I was just, my question relates to page 2, subsection, line 7, basically the area that my good senator from Natrona County was referring to. You know, it states all natural persons shall have the right to choose and provide. Well, it seems to me that if you have the right to choose, there should be something to choose from. And if there isn't anything to choose from, then the right is basically meaningless. And it seems like we have something like, I don't know, 84,000 people awaiting organ transplants. We have people waiting on the disability waiver lists. We have waiting lists as it stands right now. So if you have the right to choose, but you can't exercise that right, then you don't have a right. Thank you.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, in question for the proponents or somebody who knows about this stuff, does this in any way impair the use of competency hearings, particularly as it relates to health decisions? We find people oftentimes go to court on behalf of their parents to get a judgment of competency so they can make health care decisions. How would that be affected by this?
Senator Von Federn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious on page 3. And, Mr. Chairman, I have to clarify, are we on the amendment or on the bill?
Yeah. We're on the amendment's been passed. We're on the bill.
On the bill. Thank you. That's what I assumed. On page 3, where it says lines 21, 22, and 23, little I, pursuant to Article 10, section of this Constitution, or any statutes enacted by the legislature relating to workers' comp. I just wanted to make sure we weren't interfering with any workers' comp, because that is a state sort of mandated program. And I want to make sure that it's not going forward. Is that saying future language, like any statutes from this point forward that are enacted are good, you know, won't be interfered by this bill? Or is it give us historically that you all workers' comp is good?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Before we get too many questions in arrears, the idea, going back to the first question, which is on going off the bill, off the document, demonstrative document that's been provided, the idea behind lawful health care was to tie, I believe, that back to page 6 of that same thing with the definition of lawful health care services. Means any health-related service or treatment to the extent that the service or treatment is permitted or not prohibited by law or regulation that may be provided by persons or businesses otherwise permitted to offer such services. The object there is to simply limit it. If we have an unrestricted right to choose whatever health care we want or provide for ourselves, there are a number of provisions out there that may be illegal or that may be provided by individuals who are not unable or incompetent to provide those services, various forms of snake oil, procedures that the legislature has determined to be harmful. So the object and the intent with restricting it to lawful health care is otherwise the door would be absolutely wide open. If you were free to choose whatever health care you wanted and anything that you thought was beneficial to yourself, then there would be no restrictions on what those procedures would be, even if they ultimately are determined to be harmful to you, or that the procedure that would be provided by somebody who is not licensed to a physician or some other person who's not licensed and ultimately affects the overall health and well-being of the state. So of the citizens of the state. So that's the idea, at least behind the lawful health care. With respect to workers' compensation, what we did is the intent was if you go to subsection F of the document, which starts on page 3 of the cut-in version, you say this section does not. And then if you go back to page 5, let's make sure I'm on the right page here. If we go back to page 4, Romanette 3, that's where we tried to make sure, recognizing that certain health care systems that people are going to be required to be in, which includes workers' comp. So all we have is in F is that nothing in this provision or this amendment would affect the power of the state to prohibit care provided or participation required pursuant to Article 10, Section 4 of the Constitution, which is where specifically the workers' compensation is authorized. So we're trying to be as broad there as possible, recognizing that workers' compensation was guaranteed, or at least that bargain was struck, as we talked about yesterday, in Article 10, Section 4 of the Constitution, or in any statutes enacted by the legislature relating to workers' compensation specifically. And also recognizing that we also have the obligation for the state to provide for prisoners and others who are in the care or custody of the state, whether they're in prison or whether they're in a medical institution, the state hospital, or one of the other state programs, recognize the state does have custody, and sometimes people are not just in custody, but they're in the care of the state, and so we recognize that. So that's what we're trying to get at in the Constitution. We think we've got that covered, but if, again, as my fellow senator, tall senator from Natrona County, says so accurately, is individually we can be relatively incompetent, and together we can be relatively smart. So I think he says it more artfully than that, but there you are.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, on the issue of this, whether lawfully is an appropriate word there, let me give the Senate, if I can have the attention of the Senate, a hypothetical on that one. Looking at that definition, any health care service or treatment extent services permitted or not prohibited by law. Let me give you a concrete example. It isn't the state, but the federal government has effectively prohibited with the Medicare law physical therapy for Medicare clients, so virtually everybody over 65, which is designed not to improve their condition, but to keep it from deteriorating. And I can tell you for a fact they do that. That injured a member of my family, that prohibition did. And as I read that, because that's their law, I think it's law and not regulation, but I don't think that makes any difference. Then that would be unlawful health care to provide that kind of physical therapy. And I really wonder if this particular piece of this amendment isn't circular enough so that the definition and the language defeats the purpose of what we're trying to do here. And maybe that's something we ought to modify. Mr. Chairman, where I'm going, is that something we should modify on second reading? Because I'm a little concerned about that.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I join concern with what the meaning of lawful health care is, and have even greater concern that that would go into a constitution for later interpretation. I have a variety of questions, but to join on that first page, items 7 and 8, all natural persons shall have the right to choose and provide for their own lawful health care. My wife and I have raised 4 children, and I think one of the first events was taking our infant and having a probe stuck in his eyes to open up tear ducts. He was a natural person, and I can tell you that he didn't choose, nor would he have chosen to have that probe stuck into his eye. And over the course of raising our children, we required many things that they didn't enjoy, shots, boosters. They were all natural persons. We were their parents. But what's to say in this, under this constitutional amendment, that you have a 12 or a 13-year-old child that needs the procedure, and he says, I'm not going to do it. Parents ordinarily just said, well, you don't have a choice. You take your children down, and this is something you have to do. I suppose now you have to counsel and persuade them to do it, but you can't compel them. Can the state now require shots? Now, there are some provisions there, but to grant all natural persons from infancy to adulthood or to death, these certain rights, what's the ultimate impact? And if you have your parents and they decide they don't want to eat, can you now hook them up to an IV? How does that work out through this?
Senator Nutting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to ask the senator from Natrona County to answer the more legalistic questions, but I do want to respond to a couple of them. To the senator from Laramie County's question about choice, what choice is there? This amendment will protect choice, including the choice to choose what's in the Affordable Care Act. It doesn't nullify that act. It just does not make it mandatory. So that choice will remain. There are also a lot of other initiatives in this state to provide choices for health care. One is the Healthy Frontiers as under consideration as a possible choice. Another is medical homes and primary care medical homes, which will be another possible choice that one might have to offer the citizens of Wyoming. We're looking at voucher systems, which would be another choice. So there truly will be many choices available to the people of Wyoming if we pass this amendment. If we don't, that's what will limit the choice. In response to the question about does this is this retroactive or does it apply to legislation that will be passed going forward? And the answer to those is both, is an affirmative to both. This amendment will give us a state level defense against those current practices that may be deemed harmful to the people of Wyoming. It provides a standing to states participating in the current litigation against the Affordable Care Act, which our state has recently joined. It also gives us a footing for any future 10th Amendment rights, so that the safeguard to state rights is indeed important. And it will give us state authority to future legislation that may be passed also.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, proceeding, I have a question. There's, and I'm looking on the engrossed working copy that was passed out. On second page of that, lines 20 and following, the right to make decisions regarding lawful health care services is not a power delegated to the United States government, but is a power reserved to the state of Wyoming's people under the 9th and 10th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, and specifically reserved under Article 7, Section 20 of the Wyoming Constitution. Trying to figure out what that means. Sounds to me like we're saying the federal government has no right to make decisions regarding health care services. Are we saying with that the Medicare program is unconstitutional? Medicare makes decisions big time with regard to health care. Yeah. It's a single-payer system, Mr. Chairman, for people over the age of 65. Are we saying we don't think that's a lawful exercise of their power? They're sure making a lot of decisions. The whole Food and Drug Administration, Mr. Chairman, says what drugs can be on the market, prescription drugs. Very clear decisions regarding health care. And that one, I think, is very clear. The Commerce Clause permits what they're doing. But it seems to me this is maybe saying that that's not so. The Medicaid program, which we participate in. The federal government has quite a number of regulations. If you're going to participate in it, you've got to comply with it. Are we attacking that program with this language? Mr. Chairman, that's one set of questions I have with regard to this particular language. The second question I have, is it wise to refer to these, you're almost sounding like a lawyer writing a brief for a case here, referring to particular provisions in the United States Constitution in our Constitution. Is that really something that is a wise from a legal strategy point of view and a public policy strategy point of view? That's something that's wise to do. Mr. Chairman, I've got that question on this section, and then further back on the next page, again looking on the engrossed thing, but you can find it on the other, you talk about on subsection E, subject to reasonable and necessary laws, rules, and regulations that do not limit a person's rights under the section. Purchase of insurance in health insurance in private health care systems shall be not mandated or prohibited by law, rule, or administrative decision. Again, the subject to reasonable and necessary laws, rules, and regulations, does that turn around and defeat the purpose here? I'm a little unclear in the language on that section.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, when you take a look at that language in the bottom of page 2 of the working draft, and now I've, for the first time, in our, we're using our constitutional document as an opportunity to put a statement in of what we think the United States Constitution says or doesn't say. I have almost zero confidence that the United States Supreme Court, when they're interpreting the Constitution, will go to the Wyoming Constitution as a source of authority with regard to what the 10th Amendment is and what the rights are of the state. Moreover, to go to the Wyoming Constitution as the source for what its powers are to provide Medicaid-type services. But when you take a look at our Constitution, Section 37 in Article 1, we've said, and our forefathers are adopted in our Constitution, says the Constitution of the United States, supreme law of the land. The state of Wyoming is an inseparable part of the federal union, and the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. Like it or not, and I join with the governor's efforts to challenge parts of the federal law, and I hope we're successful. If we're not, in the United States Supreme Court makes a decision that's not popular with us, we're still a part of the union, and at that point is the law of the land, and it would make no sense to have a statement in our Constitution that is in violation of the United States law. These, again, I think are, as others have said, appropriate statements for legal briefs, for advocacy, but I wonder if our Constitution is the proper place to put a statement of advocacy at this time in this lobby, at this time. I mean, there are reasonable people will disagree. When you go on that same page, just going up on line 14, and it says, there shall be no, you shall not penalize any person for non-participation. Folks, we are paying hundreds of millions of dollars for the care of people in our state. And I can see that there is likely to come a time where we may mandate participation in a program such as Healthy Frontiers. Mandate it, because we can't otherwise afford to continue providing care. I don't know that we'll be able to continue to provide care. We might require co-pays, saying that as a condition to participating in the Medicaid program, if we ever provide the opportunity, you'll have a co-pay. You put this constitutional provision in here, and the money flows one way. Everybody says, I have the right to have Medicaid services, but you cannot impose any obligation to me to pay copay, to go to primary care instead of going to the emergency room. If I choose, I have a right to choose. I choose not to go get my primary care checkups. And I insist that the state of Wyoming pay for all of my emergent care. In fact, I think I'd like to have my emergent care done down in Denver, and I'd like you to pay the transportation down there. These are all things that I'm curious as how you intend to deal with them. Are we simply going to say we will pay for any Medicaid-type services and not be able to require good choices? Because if you make a more expensive choice, that's your right. How are we going to control our Medicaid services and our costs?
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, proposals like this are being debated, you know, around the country, like the referendums on the Affordable Health Care Act. And, you know, I think we heard here, you know, the constitutionality of the Affordable Health Care Act will be decided in the Supreme Court. And if it's found unconstitutional, then it's unconstitutional. But I wanted to go into a little bit of, you know, this is, seems to be a debate and a discussion about what the mandates are. And so let's talk about it for a minute here. You know, and I'm sure that it's probably going to cause some disagreements. But, you know, some facts on this is the individual mandate is a requirement that all individuals who can afford health care insurance purchase some minimally comprehensive policy. And for the purposes of law, the individuals who can afford health care insurance is defined as people whom the minimum policy will not cost more than 8% of their monthly income and who make more than the poverty line. So if the coverage would cost more than 8% of your monthly income and you're making very little, you're not on the hook to buy insurance. And because other provisions in the law, you're getting subsidies to make insurance virtually costless anyway. Most people will never notice the mandate as they get insurance through their employer, and that's good enough for the government. But to those who aren't exempt and aren't insured, their choice will be to purchase insurance or pay a small fine. But 2016, the first year of the fine, is fully in place. It will be $695 a year or 2.5% of the income, whichever is higher. And that's what makes the mandate progressive. What happens if you don't buy insurance and you don't pay the penalty? Nothing much. The law specifically says that no criminal action or liens can be imposed on people who don't pay the fine. This actually leads to a world in which large numbers of people don't buy insurance and tell the IRS to stuff it. You could see that change, but for now, the penalties are low and the enforcement is non-existent. The theory behind the mandate is simple. It's there to protect against insurance death spiral. Now that insurers can't discriminate based on pre-existing conditions, it would be entirely possible for people to forego insurance until they develop a medical condition. It's like buying auto insurance after you've wrecked your car. You know, in that world, the bulk of the people buying insurance on the exchange are sick, and makes the average premium terrifically expensive. The mandate is there to bring healthy people into the pool, which keeps the cost down and also ensures that people aren't riding free on a system by letting society pay for when they get hit by the bus. The irony of the mandate is that it's being presented as a terribly erroneous tax on decent, hardworking people who don't want to purchase insurance. In reality, it's the best deal in the bill. A cynical consumer would be smart to just pay the modest penalty rather than paying thousands of dollars a year for insurance. In the current system, it's a bad idea because insurers won't let you buy insurance once you're sick. In the reform system, there's no consequence for that behavior. You could pay the penalty for 5 years and then buy insurance the day you feel a lump or have, you know, something happen. You know, luckily most consumers aren't cynical, and the experience of, in many places suggests that individual mandates encourage people to buy insurance even when they might make sense of it. There's an awful lot of you know, information going out and interpretations. That's certainly, trying to get basis in fact of how this is really going to work. I just and on and against the bill.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I did something I don't recall that I've ever done in 17 years in this body, which is I voted for this bill in committee to bring it out on the floor so we could have a debate about the issue, knowing I was going to vote against the bill on the floor. And we're having good debate, and I hope we continue. But I wanted to explain my actions on this. The wording on this bill is awkward, and I think it can't be anything but awkward. I don't like Obamacare. I think this bill is a reaction to...
Point of order taken.
Mr. Chairman, I believe I can use any characterization I want for any particular action by the federal government. But I'll call it affordable health care just to keep the
thank you, Mr.
gentleman
Chairman.
Happy. Mr. Chairman, this bill is a reaction to that piece of congressional action that passed. The state of Wyoming has became the 26th state to file a lawsuit against it. That's pending in the U.S. Supreme Court. The problem I have with this bill is the timing, pure and simple. This is going to be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court by the end of this year or early next year. We don't know what they're going to do, and we don't know on what basis they're going to do it. And having a constitutional amendment and putting it on the ballot now makes no sense to me because we don't know on what we're going to base our constitutional amendment in light of what the U.S. Supreme Court's going to do. If we pass this thing now, it doesn't go on the ballot till November 2012. We have an entire another session coming, the budget session coming up, and since it's a constitutional amendment, it has to pass two-thirds of both houses anyway, so it would have to pass the two-thirds introductory vote. So, Mr. Chairman, regardless of the excellent points made by a lot of people on this floor, I think this entire thing is premature, and I think we should vote this bill down and with all due respect to the sponsor of the bill and wait till next year to see what the U.S. Supreme Court does. Then we can bring a constitutional amendment that would be relevant in light of what they did, because what I'm scared to death of, or not scared to death, but what I'm afraid we may do is pass a constitutional amendment that is completely obsolete by the time it comes to the voters in November 2012.
Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rising on and for the amendment, it's probably one of the most talked about issue in my district this year. But to the point that was brought up by the good senator from Sheridan, that we could do this next year, and we should, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? Well, frankly, if we do move this forward and there are changes, then we have the opportunity for both comment and across the state and from other people about the language in the amendment and have a year-long discussion with our constituents about the amendment. And if we need to amend the amendment, then we can come back in next year. However, I would hope that we would try to get the language as good as possible so that wouldn't have to happen. Because next time we come down here, we have a limited amount of time. We primarily want to deal with issues of the budget. And it should be, I think, this issue should be dealt this particular session when we have more time to discuss it and the opportunity for people to look at it for a year.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, just to go back and answer some questions, this is not a judiciary bill. What the Judiciary Committee did was to try and take this and be true to the intent of those who are offering health care freedom of choice amendments. In going back, and just to try and answer a couple of questions, I think that there's a couple of very good points that have been made up. One is, when we talk about all-natural persons, what is clear as we talk about this, and this did not come up during the discussion in committee, was, we have a lot of discussion about who this ought to be applicable to, with respect to whether it should be all-natural persons or others. In doing that and hearing the discussion here some other discussion that's been around the desk, I think that that's one thing that needs to be tightened up in this, is that there's some issues with respect to minors versus adults and competence versus incompetence that is not covered in here. As far as the subsection C and the statement of authority, it seemed to me that the proponents of and the reason that's in there is because the proponents of the bill wanted to have that statement in there, as I understood it. You can see the language that was stricken out before there. So there's an attempt to simply express their wishes in here. And the point is, no, I don't believe that we're telling you they can't. I think the point simply comes down that, it may be stated inartfully, but that health care is not an enumerated power to the U.S. Constitution under Article 1, Section 8, I think it is. And so it's not an enumerated power. When we come down to it, both the states and the federal government have a concurrent jurisdiction or authority over the health and welfare of the citizens. And so, I mean, that's either in there or out of there. You can do that, whether you can decide whether you like that language or not. But ultimately, that's an attempt to be true to the purpose and discussion that happened in committee, and to make sure that the expression that they wanted. My recollection is they felt that there was strong support for having some kind of basis for this in there, and that's why that particular section's in there. On the lawful issue, and going back and reading that again, I think that my tall co-senator from Natrona County makes a very good point in looking at that and reading the language again. The lawful health care was mostly talking about procedures. It wasn't talking about treatments and the ability for someone to have the right or that, but we're talking about specific procedures. And I maybe a silly example, but an example might be if your child is under the age of 18 and wants to have a tattoo because they think that's appropriate health care, you know, that the intent of this was not, I don't believe, from the, and she can speak to herself, I don't believe the intent was to, of the sponsor was to allow that particular procedure as a health care procedure. It was not to allow. So it had to do with procedure. It was a procedure-based as opposed to, and if individuals thought that a proper procedure, and the example given was therapy, that ultimately if somebody wanted therapy, then that was therapy was provided by a licensed, lawful provider of therapy, that who is the government to say that, no, you can't have that, especially when that person is willing to pay for it themselves. And so that's what we're trying to get at in lawful health care. And so I would assume that the sponsor of the I won't speak for her, but I would assume that the sponsor of the bill would appreciate and look favorable on anything that would help clarify those issues. But certainly the good senator can speak for herself on those issues.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, the need and the timing of the bill has been questioned. Now, I will submit to the Senate that we've gotten by 120 years without this in our Constitution. So I think for those of us who would seek to amend the Constitution, we need to bring a strong case as to why it's appropriate at this point. And, Mr. Chairman, the need for health care reform, I think, is very, very clear. Our current health care system is in the process of going smash. The people cannot afford the American health care system. We're at 17.6% of our GNP. Our health insurance costs are going through the ceiling.
that's hurting individuals. It's hurting businesses that are paying it. It's hurting our state budget. Yeah, we'll have a discussion on the Medicaid program. We need a reform, Mr. Chairman. One of the possibilities that is advocated by a fair segment of the population is one form or another of government care. And people are afraid that government care is going to lead to rationing, where there is care that the individual needs and the government prohibits that individual from obtaining the care, no matter whether they can pay for it or not. And that goes against our American character. We find that repugnant. And I think the people are seeking to have some constitutional protection from that threat. And I think that threat is real. Look at the pressures on anybody who is running a government health care system. They have to be, being government, democratic government, they have to be popular. And second, they're answering to some organization which is probably not unlike our own Joint Appropriations Committee. That's going to be fierce, and you've got to keep the costs under control. Well, look at the nature of health care costs. In a typical insured population, or the population at large, roughly 70% of your population incurs 10% of your costs. You're running a government health care system. You give that 70% everything they want, and if you're smart, you give them some things that maybe they don't want but are good for them, and they're happy. 70%, Mr. Chairman, wins any election I'm aware of. 50% of your cost typically is somewhere around, comes out of roughly 2.5% of your population. When we're talking Medicaid population, because of some of the problems in Medicaid that cause other costs to go up, you have to get to 5% of the population before you find 50% of the cost. But that's the distribution. If you're running a government health care system, you ration that 2.5% vigorously. You make them mad. You may make the family mad. So you got 2.5% better your population manages. And, Mr. Chairman, half of them are dead by the next election. That's the natural response of somebody trying to manage a government single-payer system. Some countries, they allow, say, okay, we're going to not pay for that care, but you can go out and buy it on your own. I think that's frequently the case in England. Our neighbors to the north in Canada say that for prescription drugs, but not for other services. They have an effective monopoly there, and if the government won't provide, you don't get. You've got to come to the United States. Our Medicare program, our government single-payer system, has done a little of that. I cited an example in the physical therapy area that I encountered. But it's that response that people are rightly afraid of. And that's not what is in, by and large, at least the law that passed in the national reform. It may be in some of the regulations that are still being written, but it's not there yet. So this, if this amendment is properly done, it is prospective, so that it sets some boundaries as we work on the reform effort in healthcare, as we're going to, I think, for the next 10 or 20 years. Do we get this thing resolved? You don't do it all at once. This constitutional amendment, if properly done, will set some boundaries on that and say that we're not going to ration care. Now, we can't tell the feds what to do, but we can tell the state what to do. So I think this amendment is timely because it's at the start of this
major ferment in the health care reform, and it puts some outer boundaries that our people want to see put on that reform. Now, I've asked a number of questions. Frankly, I think the Standing Committee amendment, I voted for it, improved the bill as a Standing Committee amendment should, but I don't think it went far enough in improving the bill. I think the bill before us, Mr. Chairman, is not ready for prime time. It has the problems we've cited. I can't ever recollect seeing that kind of definition section in a constitutional provision. You know, the U.S. Constitution provides us guidance, Mr. Chairman, which we ought to pay more attention to here in Wyoming, on constitution writing. It ought to be simple and to the point, basic principles, and try to avoid the details as much as possible, leave that to later statute. The founding fathers mastered the art of constitution writing. They'd had some prior practice with state constitutions. They mastered the art, and nobody else since has come close to them. But this violates a number of their principles. It's way too long, complicated, and wordy. The choice, Mr. Chairman, we've got is, should we carry this forward at this point and fix it? And I think, at this point, I think it is fixable. And if anybody interested in where I would go to fix it, look at Senate Joint Resolution Number 3. I think we can import some more of the concepts from that into this and get it fixed. But I do think it is fixable. I think it ought to be a good deal shorter. Or, Mr. Chairman, we can say, no, it really isn't ready at this point. It'd be too hard to fix it here on the floor and defeat it at this point. My judgment would be, let's carry it forward to second reading and try to fix it.
Senator Schiffer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As long as we're going to fix things. Mr. Chairman, again, I'm over on page 2, subparagraph C, where it talks what that says in essence, and I'm not going to deal with the federal government side of it. The right to make a decision regarding health care services specifically reserved under Article 7, Section 20 of the Wyoming Constitution. Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that you read Article 7, Section 20. It's very specific in what it deals in. And constitutional law says you will look at the whole paragraph in its entirety. And I'm going to read it. Duty of legislature to protect and promote health and morality of people. As the health and morality of people are essential to their well-being and the peace and permanence of the state, it shall be the duty of the legislature to protect and promote those vital interests by such measures for the encouragement of temperance and virtue, and such restrictions upon vice and immorality of every sort as deemed necessary for the public welfare. That is not talking about health care. That's talking about some things, and Mr. Chairman, you know, I live and walk temperance and virtue. But that's what it's talking about. We have put into this, with this Standing Committee amendment, a very strange concept of health care, temperance and virtue, good things. But should they be the guiding principle for health care? And that's what Article 7, Section 20, that's going to be the parameters then, because that's what we've said specifically reserved under that specific. As we rework this, and this, that was not in the original bill, it's in the amendment, we may want to look at those for the great guiding principles, but perhaps not the best for health care.
Majority Floor Leader Ross.
Mr. Chairman, my hope was is that we could continue this debate. It is necessary. It's not, I do this with some reluctance because I want because you'd like to finish debate and then move on. But given the circumstances and the hour and the fact that committees also are meeting at noon and so forth, will move at this point in time that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk at this time.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Senator Geis?
Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources. We'll meet up on adjournment tonight, and we'll take up Senate File 136, Water Source of Supply. Senate File 149, Temporary Water Rights Replacing Water, SJ7, Bark Beetle Mitigation, SJH, Property Rights.
Senator Hines and then Senator Jennings. Senator Hines.
Mr. President, Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet in 15 minutes in Room S16 to take up Senate File 94, Liability of Emergency Equipment Donations, and Senate File 128, Abandoned Vehicles, Storage Expenses.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, your Committee on Education, number 4, will not meet tomorrow at the regular time, but will meet Monday, January 31st, and we will take up Senate File 146, Teacher Accountability Act, and Senate File 130, Teacher Certification 2.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet at 1 o'clock today to take up again Senate File 91, Wildlife, Livestock Disease Research Partnership Funding. We'll then move on to complete work on Senate File 107, Energy Impacted County Roads Program. I would guess that Senate File 117, Wyoming Reclamation Restoration Center, we won't reach that until out of adjournment. Tomorrow, the committee will begin at 8, and we'll be considering Senate File 103, the Gillette-Madison Water Project Financing, Senate File 127, Gillette-Madison Water Project, Senate File 93, Dietetics Licensure, and the Senate File 114, Teacher Evaluations. Thank you.
Other announcements, Senator Bebout?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow, Friday, January 28th, 15 minutes after the noon recess in room S18 to continue the discussion of Senate File 121, Performance-Based Evaluation and Design, and Senate File 143, Federal Natural Resource Policy.
Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I've been asked to provide this announcement to you. There is a free lunch bus shuttle to and from the Capitol to downtown. It runs from 11:30 to 1:30 p.m. during the session. In order to find that shuttle, you have to go to the bus stop on the corner of Cary and 24th, so just right out here to the bus stop there. It's provided to you courtesy of the Cheyenne Transit Program, the City of Cheyenne, YDOT, and Cheyenne Downtown Development Authority.
Other announcements? Senator Bebout?
Mr. President, just to remind the senators that today at 12:30 there will be the luncheon provided by the Wyoming Cancer Consortium Group over at 1699 in the Herschler Building.
Other announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? No. The Senate will stand at recess until 2 p.m. There are